Well, good morning, God morning, great morning, and welcome to Declare Victory. I'm your announcer, Timothy Alexander White, and we're so glad you could join us. Today, you will hear our daily declaration from one of Declare Victory's very own God chasers, empowering, encouraging, imparting, and inspiring you to live your best life now. So grab a notebook and pen, it's sure to bless you. Please don't forget to submit your prayer request and praise reports on our app or website. We have scheduled calls 5 nights a week, Bible study, men's group, marriage matters, singles, divorce, and more. Check the app to find the call that's best for you. Don't forget to share the call information with a friend or loved one. It's sure to impact their life. We're not a church, just a bunch of radical believers that know that miracles happen when we pray. We hope you feel at home. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the call. You're now in the hands of your host for today.
And hello again. I'm your hostess for this morning. This is Sean, and welcome to Declare Victory. Are there any first-time callers? Alrighty. Well, the events for today are as follows. Declare Victory has an app for your cell phone where you can submit your prayer requests. We encourage you to download the app to submit your prayer requests online. Information on the app can be found in the Victory Room, or you can ask a friend that has the app. Today, you are invited to join us for Wait While We Wait Wednesday, while you push your plate back and fast in prayer for what you need God to do in your life. If that is not possible, you can consider giving up something else that you enjoy, such as social media or television or something else. Be sure to meet us back here after fasting at 5 today for closing prayer. And the order of the call today is as follows. The scripture will be read by Rosanna. Prayer number 2 by Barbara. Prayer number 3 by Marcus. And we will need a closer for today as Bernice is not able to close. I will repeat that order. The scripture is by Rosanna, the declaration by Dee Dee. Prayer number 1 is Dee Dee. Prayer number 2 is Barbara. Prayer number 3 is Marcus. And again, we will need a closer for today as Bernice is not able to close. So please don't forget to mute your line. You can do that by pressing *6 or using your standard mute feature. And I now pass the call.
Miss Barbara, can you jump in for her, please?
Yes, I have a scripture. I'm reading Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 from the Message Bible. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displays worry at the center of your life. May God have a blessing to the reading, hearing, and the doers of his word as I pass the call.
Amen, and I thank you, Miss Barbara, for being ready at all times. Good morning, Victorville. It is Dee Dee Felder, and it is Wait While We Wait Wednesday. And I have to first say happy, happy birthday to my big sister, my spiritual warrior, Diane, truth be told, Templeton. We love you. We lift you up with everything that you're going through, that God just gave you another chance today. So we love you, sis, and I'm just grateful that you're in my life. I want to say thank you for another opportunity to come before you this morning. It's an honor and a privilege to just be amongst God's people. Thank you, Moni. Amen. Friendly reminder, if you could just take a second and mute your line, double check, star 6 works or the standard mute feature, kind of like they do at church. They give you a minute to make sure your phone's on vibrate. Thank you. So I have a clear call this morning. Amen. So I just ask the Lord to just give me what to say. I'm going to share what I've been working on. And I just pray that it blesses you as it's blessed me. I sometimes ask myself, am I a fake Christian? Am I not who I say I truly am? Because I fall apart at times. Mm-hmm, yes, I do. And I want to give up at the least distractions, even though I work to intercede for others, encourage others, inspire others, and pray for others. Am I supposed to fake being perfect because that's what others expect of me? Why do I feel guilty when I go through things and bad stuff happens to me? Is it not right to be imperfect, helpless, hurt, or broken at times? Am I really a fake Christian? The answers are no and no, I'm not. God does not require I be perfect. In fact, he expects the opposite. I'm a Christian who sins and in need of a Savior. I am supposed to be lost, infallible, and even broken at times. This walk with Christ is far from an easy one. It is so not a tiptoe through the tulips. At least mine has not been. I've been through hell and back already. Yes, every day is a struggle. But what I've come to know is once you give your life to God, there's never a good reason to stop being a Christian. You may falter and even fall by the wayside. You may even lose your faith at times. Fall short. Wait, don't roll your eyes because I said lose faith, because you do. It can waver and you slip like you lose sight of what you can't see. It takes a fight to fight the good fight of faith and never let go. Let me just speak for myself, because I'm sure none of y'all have ever felt like that. The book of Hebrews 6:4-6 tells me a believer need never worry because he will never lose his salvation. Doubt doesn't just ask what is real. It poses the challenge. Is my faith real? Is what I believe really valid? Or is it simply a modified myth, an uber-marketed religious fairy tale supported by millions of gullible minds throughout history? Are we more concerned with outward appearances or just how spiritual we appear to others instead of how spiritual we really are? What it boils down to is, are we hypocrites? I think these questions can really serve as a guideline to determine if we are really spiritual by Jesus' definition. I believe that this discourse found in Matthew 23 by Jesus is really timeless. Perhaps one could say that Pharisees were just historical figures. However, the actions that Jesus described that they did are still alive this very day and age. I say these things so that we can conduct a self-analysis of ourselves, you and me. And if indeed we discover that we are like the Pharisees, then we should truly repent and turn our lives in a more positive direction that Jesus desired from us. Basically, let's practice what we preach, true confessions. I don't know if anyone has ever asked you all, why are you a Christian? If you find yourself in the context where someone else has asked that question, listen very carefully to what they say. What you'll find is that when we are asked why we are Christians, we often explain to someone how we became a Christian. But why you are a Christian is not the same as how you became one. Those are two different questions, the why and how. If you answer the question, why are you a Christian, by telling someone how you became a Christian, what do you think you're communicating to them? So wait. Put yourself in their shoes. What do you think they're going to hear? It's about me. And more than that, what about the process itself? Why are you a Christian? Well, and then you tell them how. See, what had happened was, once upon a time, long ago, I met this man. he was kind of fine, and he invited me to church. I mean, I was intrigued by what they said at his church. The praise was dope. They had greeters that were super friendly. The ushers were sweet and passed out breath mints along with fans. So I went along to the Bible study group, the small group. I spent some time. I even went to a couple of barbecues, and then I became a Christian. If you were a non-Christian, what's the next thing that you would ask? But you might say, if you met a Buddhist that day and he took you to his temple and you joined his Zen group, would you now be sitting cross-legged on the floor going, Doesn't it sound a bit random? But is that why you are a Christian? Just a random chance process and it just happened to happen to you? Or is there more to it than that? What a person hears is determined by what they bring to the listening. I thank Bishop Patterson for that nugget on Monday. Amen. So, why are you a Christian? The answer most received in response to that simple question is nothing but a blank stare. Is it because your parents were Christians or because you was born in America? So with that response, if you were born in Afghanistan, would you be a Muslim? There's that blank stare again. What is scary to me about the state of the church, including many pastors, is that, by large, we do not know why we are Christians. I think that if pressed, many churchgoers today simply like the story of the gospel, but don't really think it's true. Perhaps they like the country club atmosphere of the church, or maybe even the cliquish environment the church provides and the community they find there, but they sure don't think Christianity is really true. This is evidenced by so many unchanged lives. We see this play out week after week when we see churchgoers in the pews on Sunday morning singing praise songs, shouting, dancing, speaking in tongue, laid prostrate on the altar, opening their Bibles, saying amen, praise the Lord, to the pastor's message. But during the week, you couldn't tell the difference between the churchgoer and the non-believer. In fact, it doesn't surprise me to see the non-believer living a more moral life than the church-going Christian. But as soon as Sunday morning comes around, they'll put on their Sunday best and come on back to that good old country club. Oops, I mean church, my bad. Speaking of non-believers, it is these critical churchgoers who are the greatest cause of atheism in the world today. Why do we find this dilemma in the modern church? Because people don't think Christianity is really true. Sure, if you ask them, they will tell you that they think it's true, but deep down, they have been influenced by atheistic naturalism, if they realize it or not. They don't really think any of the supernatural stuff is true at all. I believe the problem starts at the pulpit. When pastors themselves don't believe what they believe, what they say they believe, the people in the pews hear it loud and clear. There are many churchgoers today that only have the first two aspects of saving belief as they understand the gospel and think it's probably true. However, they have never put their trust and faith in Christ. When churchgoers know what they believe and why they believe it, radical transformation occurs. That's Romans 12:2. And not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, let me get back to my original question. I hope if someone inquires and asks one of us victors, why are you a Christian, you can respond with more than just a blank stare. So when someone asks me that simple question, I respond with a simple answer. I'm a Christian because I believe it's true. I'm committed to the truth, and since I sincerely believe the Word is true and all that it teaches, I think we should all read it to see what Jesus thought about truth. So the book of John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And then John 8:31-32, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Yeah, I'm still in John. John 18:37. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Wow. The very reason the creator of the universe entered into the universe was to testify to the truth. If Jesus has this attitude towards truth, I see nothing wrong with being devoted to truth of ourselves. In fact, if we are truly Christ followers, we ought to be committed to the same thing. If there is any confusion regarding Jesus' attitude towards truth, Apostle Paul makes it crystal clear. Ephesians 4:15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Ephesians 4:25 says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And that Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, think about these things. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, God desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Christianity is so much more than simply being true according to the narrative found in a book. The gospel message found in the Bible also corresponds to reality. That is to say, Christianity is really true. You know, some folks believe that if you say, I believe that God can heal me if he plans to, that is faith. But that is not faith at all. To have faith is to say, I believe that God is going to heal me. As a Christian, I can say, I know that God will heal me quite confidently, because for us Christians, healing is sure. No healing in this life will make no difference, because the resurrection from the dead in a healthy, powerful body is assured. Healing for those in Christ is certain, but to specifically say exactly when and where, unless one is referring to the resurrection, is a matter within God's jurisdiction alone. It belongs to him only. Unfortunately, a very flawed view of faith has developed, which sees faith as something which allows us to manipulate God in order to get what we want when we want it, and that right there we must avoid. If a Christian man or woman is sick, they should pray and ask others to pray, such as a person as a Christian could then rightfully say, I know that the Lord will heal me. But if that person then adds, such is my faith that I can claim my healing by this time tomorrow, is that really faith or simply foolishness which has no scriptural basis? I think that the answer to that should be obvious to a victor. The way the skeptic understands this verse, the phrase means that as long as a person puts the words in Jesus' name at the end of a prayer, then God is obligated to answer that prayer positively. Attaching Jesus' name on the end of a prayer, however, is not what the Bible means when it says that a prayer is to be offered in Jesus' name. The phrase in Jesus' name means that whatever is being said or done must be done the authority of Jesus. Earnest Bible scholars have long understood this to be the proper use of the phrase. In fact, Colossians 3:17 makes this clear. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. This verse does not mean that you should proclaim before every action or sentence that what follows is being done in Jesus' name. It means that whatever actions are taken or words are spoken should be in accord with Jesus' teaching and by his authority. Let me give you an illustration, because that probably was a lot for some, because it was a lot for me. Suppose a man bangs on your door and yells, open this door in the name of the law. Should you open the door for this man? That depends. If he truly is a policeman who has a warrant and has been authorized by the government to enter your house, then yeah, you should. However, if he is a civilian off the street who simply just added the phrase in the name of the law to his sentence to make it sound more forceful, then don't open the door. The phrase in the name of the law only has force if the person using it is actually authorized by the government to perform the action. In that same way, the phrase in Jesus' name or in the name of Jesus only has power if what is being prayed for truly is authorized by Jesus. For instance, if a person prayed, "Lord, please forgive me of my sins, even though I will not forgive others of their sins, in Jesus' name, amen." Now, would Jesus comply with such a request? Mm-mm. Because he explained that God will forgive only those people who are willing to forgive others. It's Matthew 6:14-15. Including the phrase "in Jesus' name" does not give a prayer some magical, mystical power that allows the request to bypass the authority and teachings of Jesus. Another widely recognized qualification for effective prayer is that the one praying must honestly believe that God can and will grant the prayer, if it is according to his will. As Jesus stated in Matthew 21:22, "In all things, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Of course, this verse does not mean that believing is the only prerequisite for having a prayer answered. Factors that have mentioned, such as asking by the authority of Jesus and according to God's will, are necessary as well. But this verse and others teach us that belief is a necessary component of effective prayer. Belief is a necessary component of effective prayer. You have to believe that prayer. According to James 1:5-8, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." You don't have to understand God to trust him. Restoration and peace are his specialty. He will be your refuge and your strength. Just turn to him. He's waiting for you to just trust him and know that his word is true. Being a Christian means that you are serving the true Jesus and not a false one. In order for a person to follow Jesus, he must first accurately understand who he is. The word Christian is commonly defined as or relating to a professing Christianity or its teaching. Having or showing qualities associated with Christians, especially those of decency, kindness, and fairness. A person who has received Christian baptism or is a believer of Jesus Christ and his teachings. The word Christian is used 3 times in the Bible, in book of Acts 11:26, Acts 26:28, and 1 Peter 4:16. In each sentence, the Greek word Christianos is used, which is defined biblically as a follower of Christ. The word Christ, which is the root of the word Christian, is defined as the Messiah or anointed one, referring to Jesus Christ. The word Christian can be summed up biblically as someone who is a follower of Jesus. Unfortunately, many people, many people claim to be Christians do not seem to exhibit the characteristics and lifestyles that demonstrate that they follow Jesus. With this in mind, a short study in Acts 11, verse 20 through 26 will clarify the characteristics and lifestyles of a Christian. So, y'all, let's make the devil mad today. As my sister Lisa Porter says, stop serving the devil notice and just show him who you are by your battle scars. Let him know you serve a mighty God. The battle has already been won. No matter what you go through, let him know you will never give up, because you win if you don't quit. God loves us more than we can ever love him. Even when we lose sight of him, when things are not going well, in times of trouble, he is a present help. Today, read Psalms 59:16. Choose a new song to sing, a song of praise, and no matter what happens today, trust God. Get a verse on a post-it and write it down. Keep it with you like our sister Tanya does. Stick it on your mirror somewhere where you can see it. So when that fear and doubt come, meet with a powerful promise from God. The book of John 10:27-29, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." The Holy Spirit abides in all believers. You've already been given everything you need to live victoriously in and through all things, and yet we wonder why we don't operate in the power we've already have, why our love can be so fickle, why our power can be so pale. Why do we cower rather than make demons flee? Why do we live in a cul-de-sac of Christianity rather than venturing out in the highways and byways of the adventurous faith? I believe living bold comes with practice. First, you know the truth. You know it, right? Secondly, you believe the truth. I don't mean just believe that it is true, but believe that it is true for you and in you. Thirdly, you act on it, walk in it, stomp about it, and sure-footedness of it. God does not need to be stirred, poked, shaken, aroused as if from a sound sleep. We do. We need to wake up, take hold, take dominion, and live in the power that is already ours. So no matter what you're going through today, victors, or what you will go through tomorrow, your destiny is greater than your difficulty, greater than your dilemma, greater than your discouragement. And God has given you everything you need to get there. So walk in victory for real. Declare victory over your life. Your victory is connected to your faith. So my question remains, why are you a Christian? Heavenly Father, oh, I just thank you. I thank you today, Father God. I thank you that even though there's so much going on, I just give you praise. I thank you that you gave us a new day, God, and we cast all our cares on you because we love and adore you, oh, magnificent God. And no matter what happens today, we will worship and we will praise you. Father, I lift up right now, I'm lifting up Amber and Eric, Father God, for you know what they are going through. As Amber is going through the process at the hospital, and we want you to just continue to give them your peace, God, no matter what. And also for my sister Diane, and also for Bernice, as, oh, Jesus, her grandbaby, they're also facing the same type of tragedy, Father God, but we're going to continue to put our trust in you. I just ask that you be with the mothers and the fathers, and just be in those hospital rooms, God, and just give them a sense of peace that surpasses all their understanding, God, because we know you can, even though it just it's so much pain, God, but you will restore them and give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise. I thank you right now that you're doing it, God, and I thank you that you will give Susie and Rick safe traveling grace, God, and see about Tunisia and her frustration, God. I can't even imagine all that she's going through, but I ask that you touch her body from her the top of her head to the soles of her feet and continue to just heal her. And I thank you for her, Father God. I thank you that as Gwen's son Brian goes to court today, that you will show him favor and let the judge just look beyond and know that he's a young man who just needs another opportunity, another chance to get this thing called life right, God. And also lift up Elizabeth to you as well, Father God, and everyone in the need of prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you. We thank you just for a brand new day, for your grace and your mercy that it's kept us, God. It's kept us yet again. Thank you, God, just for being who you are, even in the pain that some of us are in, God. I'm just shouting about just the blessings that you give us to have life, God. I give you praise because of who you are. For those prayer requests that were unspoken and for those that I didn't capture, God, you know them all. For every troubled mind, just be the peace, God. You are Jehovah Shalom. I thank you for reminding us who we are and whose we are, Father God. I thank you that you are giving us a clarity of why we are Christians. I know I found out exactly why of the Christianity is for me, God, and why we decided to follow you, God. And faith and doubt comes up in even in my own life, and there's days when, for no reason that I can explain it, believing is hard. It's hard sometimes, God, but that's the faith walk. So I just thank you, God. I thank you for being who you are, God. I thank you for Sean this morning and for her greeting and her host, and God, continue to bless her indeed, and for Sister Barbara for always staying ready, and I thank you for Marcus who will go after, and however the flow of the call goes, God, continue to just be in control. I thank you for all things. You are just a mighty, mighty God. And I just thank you for the gift of life, God. There's just so many things going on, but I still give you praise. I give you praise, honor, and glory as I pass the call to the next prayer warrior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord. First of all, thanking you, Father, for allowing us to wake up and see another day, Lord. Thank you for watching over us through the night, Lord, and allowing us to wake up, Father. For somebody didn't wake up this morning, Lord Jesus. We just praise you this morning. We just magnify your name, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for that awesome declaration of Dee Dee reminding us to think about why you truly are a Christian, Lord Jesus. That's the question we all should answer today, Lord, for ourselves. Father, I just lift up our unsaved loved ones to you, Lord, asking you to touch as only you can touch, Lord. Prune as only you can prune, Lord. Help us to be the example for them that they need to see, Lord. Help us to not just read your word, but truly live your word, be your word for somebody, Lord Jesus. Father, I just thank you this morning. I just thank you for Pastor Lavelle and just how his Tuesday night Bible studies are so helpful, Lord Jesus. I just praise you this morning, Lord. I just magnify your name. Lord, I lift our marriages up to you, Lord, asking you to touch each couple in a special way. Bond them together, Lord, as never before. Help them to learn how to understand and truly love each other, Lord Jesus. Lord, I lift up our families to you, Lord. All the things that are going on in our families right now, I just ask you, Father, to bond families together, Lord. Help us to understand each other and trust each other and just be there for each other, Lord. Help us to learn how to love others as you love us, Lord Jesus. Lord, I lift our children up to you, Lord, thanking you for our children, Lord, asking you to continue to bless our children, Lord. Continue to help our children to see you in our lives, Lord, to help them along the way, Lord Jesus. I lift our coworkers up to you, Lord, asking you, Father, for us to be the model in front of our coworkers, Lord. Let's not be Long Ranger or secret agent Christians, Lord, but Christians that people can really see that we're different, Lord. And it's a wonderful life, even when we're going through changes, Lord. Help us to allow our light to shine for you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I lift our neighbors up to you, Lord, thanking you for our neighbors and asking you to bless our neighbors, Lord, and help our neighbors to see the light, Lord Jesus. I lift our enemies up to you, Father, asking you to touch our enemies as never before, Lord. Lord, I just ask right now that you create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, Lord. Cast me not away from your presence, O God, and take not your Holy Spirit from me, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just lift the DV family up to you, Father, thanking you for each one, Lord. I lift Dion and her children up to you. I lift Tanya and her family up to you, Lord. I lift Dee Dee and her family up to you, Lord. I lift Diane today, Lord. Thank you for allowing her to see another birthday, Lord Jesus. Allow this day to just be awesome for her today, Lord Jesus. I lift Sean up to you, Father, thanking you for her and her awesome greeting and hosting, Lord Jesus. I just thank you this morning, Lord. My heart is so thankful this morning, Father. I just praise you. I just thank you, and I just magnify your name, Lord. I thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord Jesus, that newfound mercy and grace every single day, Lord. I lift Zia's mom up to you and my friend's mom, Mrs. Lewis, up to you, Lord, and Mrs. Ingram up to you, Father. You know the needs of those families, Lord Jesus, and I just lift them up to you, Lord, thanking you in advance for what I know you're already working on and doing in each of our lives, Lord. I just lift Sister Julia and her family up to you, Father, thanking you for her, Lord, and Bubbly and the graduates, Lord, those kids that are taking exams, actually not just kids, but everyone that are taking exams and finals, Lord. Bring their things to their memory, Lord, so that they pass them with flying colors, Lord Jesus. Father, I just thank you this morning, and I just praise you. And I just ask these things in Jesus' name as I pass the call.
Father, we come to you now to say thank you and to praise you, to give you glory, honor, and praise, because you alone are worthy of it all. God, we give you praise because you have blessed us to see this day, a day that we haven't seen before. We thank you for your mercy, oh God. We pray, God, that you will bless us and keep us safe and keep our minds on you, stayed on you on this wait while we wait Wednesday. God, I want to lift up our pastors today, God. Every pastor that is laboring before you, God, praying for your people and preaching to your people and laying prostrate, God, just seeking your face. Oh, God, I pray, God, that you would help them, God, to continue to focus on keeping their lives in order, oh, God. I pray, God, you would help us to follow them as they follow Christ, oh, God, and help us, Lord, to support them and to let them know that they are loved and that they are honored and that they have someone behind them and on the side of them. And, you know, that pray, God, that you will bless their spouses right now in the name of Jesus. Give them strength to continue to be that pillar, God, that they need, that support that they need. And we thank you for it. Pray for all of their children, the pastor's children, God, that they continue to, the pastor's children continue to follow their parents' examples to be the best that they can be, not just because they're PK kids, but just because that you told us, God, that if we would honor our parents, that our lives may be long. And so, Lord, I pray for every pastor's, every church family, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, that you'll bless them in a special way. I pray, God, for every church. God, every church around the country, around the world, God, that you would continue to help them to be the light that you've called them to be, oh God. Pray, God, that you would help them to be infectious in their communities, God, in their communities, in every area where they are, God, that they will begin to impact not just people, but companies and businesses, and impact schools, and make an impact around the world, everywhere that they go, oh God, and everywhere that they are traveling to. I pray, God, for every church, God, that you would help it not just to be a place that does programs, but, God, I pray that you would bless our churches to begin to make some significant changes within the community, God, and around us. So we thank you for it, and we bless you for it, that lives are changed and souls are saved, and we thank you for it. I pray for every city, God, cities around the world and states, every state, oh God, every representative that represents those states, oh God, I pray, God, that you would bless them, God, to help them to bring down the crime rate, oh God, and to help them to pass laws that would affect us, that would help us, God, to live in a better situation, oh God. I pray, God, that you would help us with our legislatures and our president, God, our president, God, his family, his wife, oh God, as they are preparing to end their last term. I pray, God, that you would protect them, keep them safe in the name of Jesus, oh God. Thank you for all they have done. God, we pray even in the midst of the things that maybe the president didn't do quite right or whatever, God. I thank you, God, for him. I thank you, God, for President Obama. Thank you for what he's even set out to do and what he's had a mind to do. Thank you for his cabinet, oh God. I pray that you will bless them and protect them and keep them safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. God, and we thank you for it, and we bless you for it. Oh, God, I pray for every local government, oh, God, that you will bless them in a special way. Touch them right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray for our military, oh, God, everyone that stands for us, oh, God, that is representing our military, Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines, oh God. Pray that you would bless every person that is on the line for us every day. God, I pray that you would bless them, keep them, protect them. God, we pray, God, that you would bring the troops home, those troops home, God, the ones that are due to come home. Bring them home safely, oh God. Bless their families, oh God, that they can rest assured that they are going to be safe, oh God. And those that have lost loved ones in the military, I pray, God, that you would give them strength, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God, to get through that troubled time. And we bless you for it, and we thank you for it. Lord, I know that you are able to help our families, oh God, that have lost people to the military. We know that you are able to do it, God. We know that you are able to comfort them, oh God, and even send some of us, God, to be there for them and to do for them what they need done, God, to comfort them and give them support. And we thank you for all of that, oh God. Lord, someone on this line may have just lost someone in a situation that has been unnamed. I pray, God, that you would give them strength right now. I pray that you give them hope and know that they can get through this troubled time. And we bless you for it and we praise you for it. Now, Lord, as I prepare to pass the call, I pray that you'll bless the remainder of this call, God, that we go higher in you and that we become more aware of your presence and that we connect more with you, a deeper relationship with you, God. We love you, Jesus. We ask you to have your way in every way. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen, as I pass the call on.
And so, Father God, we just come in conclusion saying thank you, Lord, for yet another opportunity just to get this thing called life right. God, I thank you for Demetriana today, and I thank you for her heart. God, I thank you for the clarity of the word that she shared, Lord God. I thank you that she asked us, what is our why? God, I pray that every ear that was graced with the words that you gave her heart to share today would ask that question and never again be caught with a blank stare, Lord God, but you said they shall know the truth, and the truth shall make them free. God, I thank you that your word declares, choose ye this day who you will serve. God, I thank you that you've given us instruction to make a decision. Lord God, today we choose you, God. We choose to lay down our lives, Lord God, that you would pick it up, that you would carry it, God, that we would be the examples of who you called us to be and being joint heirs with you, God, being ambassadors with Christ Jesus. God, we thank you this morning that we have a right to the tree of life and we need but decide. God, I thank you that today our decision and our election is sure. God, I thank you today that there's no wavering or faltering us. God, I thank you today that we are no longer country club members, God, but kingdom builders who work and watch as well as war. God, I thank you today that you've given us a mind to seek after you, Lord God. I thank you that you've given us a heart that understands truth in love. I thank you that our desires are changing, God. I thank you that our mindsets are changing, God. I thank you that even when the enemy comes in like a flood, you lift up a standard against him. God, I thank you that we know the truth, that we respect the truth, that we understand the truth, and we acknowledge you as the truth, the way, and the life. Lord, I thank you this morning that no weapon formed against us will prosper. I thank you that even when we're toiling and even when we're frustrated, even when we're tried in our faith, Lord God, that you have already put in place the Jeremiah 28:11 clause, Lord God, that you know the thoughts and the plans that you have for us, one to give us an expected end. God, I thank you this morning that because we understand the truth, that we know that whatever is going on, that everything works together for our good. God, I thank you for the grace to travail, Lord. I thank you for the grace to stand firm. God, I thank you for the grace to be like trees planted by living water, not being blown to and fro, Lord God, but being planted in our truth. I thank you, Lord God, that we have roots that have gone deep into the earth, God, that have been tangled up through the rocks, Lord God, and the soil, and that no lie that the enemy will ever tell us, God, will change our firm foundation, that it's sure. I thank you for the word that you gave Peter when you said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God, help us to be like the rock. Lord God, help us to know without a shadow of a doubt that if you are for us, nothing can be against us. I thank you for being transfigured, transformed, transitioned into being certain, without question, without any doubt or fear that you are a true and living God. That, God, you are not only for us, Lord God, but that you are enough for every situation, God, for every circumstance, God, for every bowed down head this morning. I speak life, God, for every frustrated life this morning. I speak peace and joy for every depressed and full of condemnation mind, God. I speak free and free indeed. God, I thank you this morning for every prayer that has gone before me, Lord God, and I thank you, Lord God, that not only do you hear them, God, but that you'll answer and you'll answer it quickly, Lord God. God, you may not take the pain away, but give peace. God, you may not change the situation, God, but change our vision. God, you may not relieve the pressure at that moment. But God, I speak peace and hope and love and joy. I speak patience and temperance and understanding, God. I speak that we might be angry, but sin not. God, and so this morning, I pray that you keep us from all hurt, harm, and danger. Keep our hearts and our minds focused. Think on those things which are lovely. Think on those things which are pure. Think on those things which are of a good report. God, give us a mind to remember that if we keep our eyes focused, fixed, and stayed on you, who is the truth, who is I am, who is everything that we need at any time that we need it, God, remind us that you have everything in control. And with that said, God, we take our phones off mute, and we just begin to declare, God, you are our election. God, you are our choice. You are our decision. You are our peace, God. You are I am that I am. You are the truth, the way, and the light, God. You are in spite of our situation. God, we can't live without you. We can't move without you, God. We can't breathe without you, God. God, we don't want to make decisions by ourselves, God. We want you to lead us and guide us, God. God, give us peace through every storm. God, in the name of Jesus. God, if you bid that we walk on water, God, give us hope in you. Not our strength, oh God. Not our ability, God, not our talents nor our gifts. But God, we hope in you. In the name of Jesus. God, we trust in you and your direction, God. We trust in your word and your will for our lives, God. God, we thank you for your spirit, oh God, that gives direction in the name of Jesus. God, we trust you with our children, God. We trust you with our finances, oh God. We trust you with our bodies, oh God. We trust you with our thoughts, God. We trust you with our indecision, oh God. We trust you, oh God, with our finances and resources, oh God. We trust you to meet every need, oh God. We trust you for every open door, God. We trust you for every closed door, and we thank you, God. We thank you and trust you in every no situation, God. We thank you and we trust your timing, oh God. God, we serve you because you're worthy. We serve you because you're great. We serve you, oh God, because you never fail. We serve you, oh God, because you never lost a faith. God, we thank you that even when it looks like we're defeated, God, we thank you that there's even victory in that, oh God. God, we thank you when we're confused and confounded, God, that you have the power to regulate our minds this morning. God, keep my children in the name of Jesus. God, send peace to every hospital, everyone sick and shut in, oh God. God, give peace and strength, God. Comfort everyone that mourns in the name of Jesus. God, you know all about them. God, for our friends and loved ones that have children in the penitentiary, oh God. God, comfort their hearts, God, and rescue their children. God, they might be rescued behind bars, God, but you have the power, oh God, to send ministering angels, oh God, even behind prison walls, oh God. God, right now, in the name of Jesus, God, somebody lost a loved one, oh God. God, be comfort, be peace, oh God, be strength and healing salve, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we thank you for your spirit this morning. God, we thank you for your power, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, give us a brain spirit, oh God. Give us a mind to serve you, God, like never before, God. God, help us to know that we're running for our lives, God, but that if we run to you, oh God, you have enough power in the name of Jesus, God, to direct our path, God. Give us a mind to seek you first, the kingdom of God, and all of its righteousness, God, that everything else will be added unto us, God. God, give us a mind to trust in the pressed down, shaking together, God. Running over shall men give unto our brother, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, give us a mind to serve, oh God. Give us a mind to obey you, oh God. Give us a mind to trust you, oh God. Bless your name, Jesus. Give us a mind to operate in excellence, oh God. God, help us to take ownership of being joint heirs with
you.
In the name of Jesus, God. Help us to know that we are King's kids. Help us to know, oh God, that there is no failure in you, oh God. Keep our loved ones, oh God. Save the unsaved, oh God. In the name of Jesus, God, continue to move through us, oh God. Give us the tools, Lord God. Give us the resources, oh God, to bless your people, oh God. God, to share the love of Christ with somebody that's lost and dying, God. Give us the desire, God, to be ministers in all that we do, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, bless your name, God.
Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, bless your name, God. Every pastor, God. God, send conviction to your people, oh God. God, help them to live upright before the Lord, Lord God.
Lord
God, help us to live upright. God, help us to stop witnessing to Christians. God, but witness to those that are lost with our lives, God. In the name of Jesus, I come against every hypocritical spirit. In the name of Jesus, God, that our life will line up with our chit chat, oh God. God, that our life will line up with the Word of God. In the name of Jesus. Oh, bless your name, God.
Oh, thank you, Lord God.
Oh, thank you, God.
Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. For your presence, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. For the presence, Lord God. Hallelujah. Of your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your visitation, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Yes, Lord. Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God, for being the I am that I am on today.
We put our eyes on you. Thank you, Lord. Move our eyes.
Hallelujah.
We won't be moved by what we see, Lord. We won't be moved by what we see, Lord God. But we will trust you.
Yes, God.
You tell us to stand, God.
Hallelujah.
Tell us to move to the right.
Hallelujah.
Tell us to move to the left.
Order our
will move.
Today,
tell us to run. God,
we
will run.
Direct our path on today, Lord God.
Thank you.
Lead us and guide us.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Not our will, but thy will be done in and through our lives. We relinquish everything to you on today, God.
Thank you, Lord.
We lay it all down today, God.
Hallelujah.
We lay it all down
to your
today,
will,
God.
Hallelujah.
Our thoughts, God, we lay them down, God. Our motives, God, we lay them down, God. Our desires, God, we lay them down today, God. God, and we'll pick up the mind and the heart of Christ on today, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
God, we bless you and we glory
you. We bless your name, Lord.
Hallelujah, God.
Jesus.
Hallelujah,
yes, Lord. God bless you.
Hallelujah,
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
You alone
are worthy, Lord.
Hallelujah,
Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes, God.
Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah. And so, God, we just thank you this morning. God, thank you for the visitation of your spirit, God. We bless your name. this morning, God, give us everything that we need today to make our elections confident. God, a confident choice, God, in the name of Jesus. God, that you would get the glory out of our lives, God, that you would continue to stretch us and grow us and make us and recreate us and reinvent us, God, for your glory. For your glory, we would do anything, God, not that we deserve a fanfare or even desire it, God, but that you would get the glory out of our lives, God. We thank you in advance for healing us. We thank you for healing us, God, but most importantly, we thank you for using us in this critical hour to build your kingdom, God, and declare that we are victorious in and through you. God, we love you this morning, and we'll be so careful to give your name the glory, to give your name the honor and all the praise. It's in the matchless name of Jesus that we declare and decree it done. Amen. And God, I thank you as I pass the call to Sean.
Good morning and hello again. Welcome to Declare Victory. Again, my name is Sean. I've been your hostess. I hope that you all have been blessed by the call today. Were there any first-time visitors that did not get a chance to say hello? Nobody? Was there anyone that joined the call late and didn't get to say hello?
Really, really
good
quick.
Good morning. This is Lizay.
Uh-oh. Hey, Lizay. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I love you guys so much.
Good morning,
Barbara.
Love you back.
Really quick before we get into the love, life, and victory portion, I made a mistake. You could tell I haven't been doing it for a long time. There are two brief announcements. The first one is our own sister Tanya Weston has decided to be obedient, and I am super proud of her. She has launched her ministry. It is called The Woman After God's Own Heart. She will be having an event on this Sunday at 3 p.m. in the city of Vallejo. You will see a flyer in the Victory Room. That is on the 15th at 3 p.m., again, city of Vallejo. And last but not least, mark your calendars, July 11th. And I haven't talked to anyone. I'm throwing this date out. This is for the planning committee, but prayerfully, DV will be having its second annual barbecue. And last year we had an amazing time. I'm actually renting the entire bottom portion of the park out. So I just wanted to say that it was supposed to be said this morning, but I think I put it in the wrong place. I'm sorry, Sean. Go ahead.
No problem. Thank you for that. So if there is no one else that would like to say hello.
Good morning, it's Niecy.
Hi,
good morning,
Niecy. Good morning.
Hi, family.
Good morning, family. It's me.
Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning,
family. Good morning,
everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tiffany.
Good morning, Josiah.
Good morning, Josiah.
Good morning,
Nasha.
Good morning, Nasha.
Good morning, Gisbrije.
Good morning, Anthony. Good morning, Janet. Good morning, Sister Carolyn. Good morning, family. It's Andrea. Good morning, Dandy.
Good morning, fam.
Good morning, Jamila.
Good morning, Jamila.
Good morning, Victory family. God bless.
Good morning, Brother Jeff.
Good morning, it's Mrs. Franklin.
Good morning, Mrs. Franklin.
Good morning, prayer warriors. It's Gail.
Good morning.
Okay, well, we hope that you can join us for the next segment of the call, which is a love, life, and victory portion. thank you all for allowing me to be your host today, and I hope you all have a blessed day. And I now pass the call.
Well, thank you, Sean, and thank you all for just allowing me to share this here morning. But before I ask the questions that I have a couple questions this morning. I have to just share with y'all because y'all are my family. So God has a sense of humor because I had to go into my studio, which is my car, which is in my garage, because, you know, you have people spread out throughout your house. Plus, I have my new little purpose, so she was being attended to so I could do the declaration. And my husband, I guess he either forgot I was in a car and my car light went out, and then he turned the garage light out. So I was in the darkness for a little bit, y'all, but that's why I lost my little footing, but amen. And then how my sister Dion going to just throw my little government name out at a sister? I was like, did she just say Demetriana? But no, I thank you all. And I just wanted to share with you what I've been really, man, the Lord has just been, I'm in the Word so much now, and I just want us to always be ready to give an answer. Like it says in 1 Peter, so did anybody get anything out of the share this morning? And anybody willing to answer the question?
I just got one question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
How you just going to say the country club, I mean the church?
Because that you got, well, you know how it be sometimes.
Oh,
you know how
man.
It be sometimes. You got the VIP section.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. That was so awesome. One of the things, which is my constant testimony, I may have even said it on yesterday, but people sometimes ask me, you know, why I chose Christianity. First of all, I didn't choose Christianity. It chose me. None can come lest they be drawn. It's not for everybody. And one of the things that I love about Christianity, if you search anywhere, and I am a very, very A and B, after that, just synchronicity is C in my mind. I am a logical, strategical mover. It's my thought process. And so when I thought about the fact that we get to choose, I get to choose him, even though he chose me, I can decide to love him back. And when I decided to love him back, after much study and studying FOI, and which is Fruit of Islam, and Buddhism and Jehovah's Witness, none of it made sense. It didn't make sense to my thought process. And so I thank God for giving us the power to elect him. And so I don't got no blank stare for the people, honey. I can tell them flat out. It's like, I ain't going to say that. Shut up, Dion. I choose him.
Hey, I was laughing because, yeah, you did yesterday. I was like, she getting ready to just talk about my share tomorrow. So I thank you for that. And when you said choose Joshua 24:15 in the Message version, y'all, I'm going to read it. It says, if you decide that it's a bad thing to worship God, then choose a God you'd rather serve and do it today. Choose one of the gods your ancestors worshiped from the country beyond the river, or one of the gods of the Amorites on whose land you're now living. As for me and my family, we'll worship God. So when Dion said the reason why she chose and all that, and I love your analogy because he chose you. Girl, that was so good. But I thank you just for who you are to me. You are not angle. I'm not going to start you up, but I just thank you, sister, for blessing my life. Amen. Does anybody
Amen.
Else want to share?
Sister Dee Dee.
Yes, Brother Jeff.
She may be pronounced your whole government name, but it was so long. I can't remember it.
Good.
I can't remember it, so I'm just going to stick with Dee Dee. But, man, that was a powerful declaration this morning, and I know it convicted some folks on the line, but we ain't hung up because, you know, it don't feel good to be a fake Christian. My. I don't want to be a fake Christian. I don't want to be a hypocrite, you know, but the answer to your question, why am I a Christian? First of all, it's because of the influence of my grandmama and my granddaddy, because the fact that they were Christians and they took me to church when I was a baby. Now, if they would have been a Muslim and they took me to the mosque, I probably would have been a Muslim. You know, if they would have been a Buddhist and they took me to the statue, I probably would have been a Buddhist. And then I would have had to have the encounter like Dion just spoke about, and have someone witness to me and be drawn to Christ. So my first influence was my parents. The fact that they are Christians, well, they passed on, but the fact that they were Christians and they took me to church and exposed me to Christianity, that was the first exposure. Now, true enough, I did stray away. I did stray away, and I was, you know, I was that child that mama had to come in and get out of juvenile hall. But eventually, he began to tug at my heart. And I fell to my knees, and I cried out to him. And he said, get up off your knees and go to church. And I hadn't been to church in years, didn't know where a church was at. And ever since that moment, ever since that time where he called me, hallelujah, I've been trying to stay the course. So great declaration, my God. So my desire today is not to be a fake Christian. Thank you for your declaration.
And thank you for your share, Brother Jeff. We just got to know why we chose. And I like that you said because of your influence, but beyond that, you have to know, and the choices always are. So thank you for that. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on it or have something to share?
Didi, good morning. Yes, this is Ruth.
Hey.
Hello, lady, beautiful
Hello.
Lady. Thank you for the declaration. The part that I heard, because I was up cooking for Consumer Affairs all night. Ain't bragging, but I'm grateful. No, I'm just playing. I want to say, Dee Dee, I've been everything else. Like, everything else. And I'm so grateful that God did not leave me out there. I'm like Dion. I'm so glad he chose me. So much I need to learn and I need to know. But I thank God for the growth. I thank God for his wisdom. I thank God for not leaving me where I was. Ooh-wee. I would not want to be there for even a second. So I'm grateful that I am a believer. I'm a Christian. I am a child of God. But I have a question for you, because there's someone dear to my heart says, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Christianity. Is that possible?
They believe in God, but they don't believe in Christ. I don't even. So, is that that's a real question? I'm not being funny. Seriously,
that's a real question. But I think more so, because
well,
I think it's somebody dear to my heart, coming from being a Jehovah's Witness. But
well,
I think what it is the people. I think what it is, it's not the Christian. I think it's dealing with people. I don't know. But does that make sense at all? Because I don't understand it, so I'm glad
you
brought
that up.
Well, for
me, this is my answer, and maybe another, you know, maybe a theologian or somebody. But for me, I trust God, that he was creator of everything. And the Bible, is about Jesus being our Lord and Savior. So if he's the Son of God and we are to be Christ followers, I don't get it. I don't know. That's not, no. I would have to say no. Anybody else want to answer that?
Just had to ask because you were on the subject. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Dee. Oh,
yes,
somebody
ma'am.
Answering?
No. Just what I said.
I think for me, in order to help, can I just jump in real? Oh no, Eric, you go ahead because you're at work. No, let Eric can go.
No, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead, Tanya. I'm good. I'm here by myself.
You called her
go
Tanya,
ahead.
So you want to speak? Go ahead.
So was Tanya trying
Tanya.
To speak too? Oh, okay. Okay.
No, go ahead, Tanya.
Okay. So really quick, I Ruth, I would have to get more clarification from the person, and I would ask him, what do you when you say you don't believe in Christianity, can you explain to me what that means? Because that's the first thing I was talking about. Is he talking about like the religious thing, the religious practices that come along with
that's
Christianity?
I think it's the religion and the people.
A particular denomination, or is it because, as Didi says, to be a Christian, Christianity or the term Christian came up well after the disciples came along. They were initially called disciples, followers of Christ, right? And I really today identify myself as a believer more than I do a Christian, because lots of people call themselves Christians, but they don't really believe. But anyway, I hope that's what I would have to do. Can you help me understand? I would drill down a little bit more because I think it's not probably what he really means. Okay, go ahead, Eric.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Tanya. I'm glad you did go before me, because that what Tanya said is a very good strategy. So when we're talking to non-believers or people who doubt, first thing you want to do, you want to assess the situation. You want to ask them the same question that Tanya asked, and in order to clarify. Once you get this situation clarified, then you can begin to address the situation with a scripture. Okay. What is the basic scripture? This is a teachable moment. What is the basic scripture that anybody can use to answer that? Okay. Everybody should know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, who is Jesus Christ, that whom shall ever believe in him, Jesus Christ, to not perish, but have everlasting life. That's just one scripture that you can put out. One of my mentors in the service always used to say that we should have a boot camp, just like a soldier's trained, that a Christian should be trained. So that as we go out in the world, as we go out in the field, you should have your weapon, but you should have some bullets in there. And what I mean by bullets, you should have some scriptures, some basic scriptures that you should know. And Jeff can back me up on this, because I think Jeff goes out, as well as Gwen, they go out and they go witness for Acts. And so when you go to witness to somebody, you have to have at least a basic fundamental word in you. You know, just like a soldier, if you point to a soldier and say, what's that on your uniform? What ribbon is that? They should be able to tell you, well, I got this ribbon because it is. These stripes symbolize, you know, what my position is. This on my uniform symbolizes this. And this is the same way that a believer should be. You know, we're called Christian because we're followers of Christ. Well, who is this Christ? Okay, we should be able to go on to that. But Tanya did a very good job. Whenever we are talking to a person, it is always good to find out where their state of mind is, what their belief is, and be conversational about it. Don't be confronted about that. And don't be afraid to say, well, I don't know, but I'll get back to you. And be able to look it up. Maybe you can't even look up the exact verse, but if you know where it is, and we have Google today, everybody has a smartphone. We have Google today. You can type that baby in, and it will give you the verse. Not only will it give you the verse, it'll point you to a commentary that will help explain. And so these are the things that we do as Christians, as believers, on a day-to-day basis, because God's word said we should have a word in season and out, and should be able to provide a word to about why we believe or what we believe. Excellent, excellent declaration, my sister. Give me Triana.
Thank you, Brother Eric, and thank you, Tanya. Who was that?
Lisa, real quick.
Hey, Lisa, good morning.
Awesome declaration. You made me think about so many things, and I want to say some stuff, but I got to get back in my office. I just wanted to kind of address the question whether she has a conversation with him or not. The question was, can a person believe in God and not believe in Christianity, or I could say not believe in Christ? My answer directly to that without asking any other questions would be, yes, they can serve a God, but not our God, not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not the God that we serve, because if we're serving God, then, I mean, because people, truth be told, there are many other gods out there with a little G, and people are serving all kinds of other gods. In fact, Satan is called the God of this world. So if you think about it, yeah, they can serve a God, but not our God. So it doesn't mean, I mean, even some religions that, you know, are devout are not serving the same God that we're serving. And some people are serving the God of their imagination, the God they think is God. But I'm reminded, since Eric was talking about Scripture, that, and I think Dion said it in her prayer, that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come unto the Father, that's our Father, our God, except by me. So he said it. We don't discriminate. We don't, you know, push people out. This is what he set out. And so because we go through him, that's the only way that we have access. And because God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that we can't even get to God except we go through Jesus. That's just a stipulation of Christianity. And I wanted to also talk about, you know, why I chose him. I so appreciate Dion also saying, you know, that none can come unless he draws us in, right? If he had not drawn us in, we wouldn't be here. And not only that, I'm reminded about being predestined. We don't talk about that a lot. But being predestinated before the foundation of the world, my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come on, so it was just a matter of time until my eyes opened up into the glorious gospel of who he is, and then I came into the knowledge of the truth, that I was predestined to be here. I love that. I love that about God. And then when I got sick and tired of myself, that's when I was like, when I got lonely out there by myself, when I realized, because he knew what wall to put before me, that I would come in, it was a matter of time. It was an appointed time. Thank you, Dee Dee. I love you, and I appreciate you studying and getting the word. You had so much meat. I'm going to have to go back and listen again myself. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
One second. Let me just say something real quick. Thank you, Lisa, because you said exactly the thought, because Ruth did mention, I guess, that they have been Jehovah's Witness or something. So it can be, you know, clarity is necessary, and we do have to make sure they're talking about our God and not a God or little God. So I thank you for just always being so good. You, Tanya, and Eric, thank you so much for jumping in and answering that. Go ahead. Who was that?
Good morning, Dee Dee. It's Yolandra. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Yolandra.
Good morning, Dee Dee. Thank you so much for your declaration this morning. Very thought provoking and as well as this conversation. And sometimes I think about all the different religions, you know, the Muslim faith, the Jehovah Witnesses, you know, even those without faith, the atheists, and so forth. And I think to myself, Lord, how are you going to reconcile all of these different religions and people and so forth at the end of the day, right? And someone else also spoke to about how we are predestined and how we're chosen. How Psalm 139 says, you know, I know the plans I have for you. You know, I knew you before. And that's 139 says about how, you know, we're wonderfully and fearfully made. And, you know, and so as for myself, I know that I'm growing in Christ, and I know that he is my desire to know him and is growing and so forth. So for me, you know, I know the Bible says that at the end of the day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Christ is Lord. You know, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer, not only because my mother trained me that way, but I always knew when I was a child that there was something bigger and greater out there than me. And then when he showed himself through me, through heartbreak and through addiction and through the court systems and and through all kinds of other things that God brought me through, you know, I know that he's real, and I know that Christ is the way. You know, I want to see God. You know, I want to, when I die, I want to go to heaven. I want to be on the right hand, you know, and at the end of the day, I'm looking forward to that promise, you know. So for me, I'm just grateful that, you know, because sometimes I think, Lord, who am I? Who am I to be able to bless you? But I know that I'm better than a rock, and I know that I don't want a rock to cry out, you know, and I know that he loves me, and he loves me first. And like Dion says, you know, I have the ability to choose who to love, you know, and because I'm drawn to him, and I know that my life is better when I'm obedient to him, that's why I'm a Christian. You know, that's why I'm a believer, and that's why I love the Lord, you know. And Dede, I want to say this last thing, is sometimes I question, just like you said, or am I a fake Christian, you know, because Satan wants me to think that I'm not good enough to praise him. And Satan wants me to doubt myself and my love for him. And he wants me to feel, you know, less than and not good enough. But I know at the end of the day, God loves me first. He loves me first, and he loves me through it all. He doesn't expect me to be perfect, you know, but he does want me to love him if I choose to love him, and I do. So I just want to thank you for the declaration, and that's my 2 cents.
Thank you so much. That blessed me. Isn't that, oh, that love that he has for us? Oof. And like you said, all the things, I know for all the 48 years of my personal experiences, he's proven, he's shown himself true. So for me, it's just the truth. It's truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. Amen. Anybody
Amen.
Else?
Yeah.
Good morning, D.
Hey, Miss D. I heard
Good
Juju morning. Too, right?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Miss D, darling.
Good morning, family. I choose to follow Jesus every day, and it's a choice. I have to make a conscious decision when I get up in the morning not to put myself in front of him and to wait on the Lord. And it's due to personal experience, really, from trial and error out there trying to run my life my way and without a Savior, without a light in my life, without a path to follow that I didn't try to lay myself. Another thing that I love the Lord so much for is that he decided that he would lay down his life for me, that there are not a whole lot of religious rules that I have to live by and laws in order to be a Christian, because he took on the laws of the Roman Empire to help oppress people. I come from a people that were oppressed, and, you know, walking around with my head down and not feeling that I was worthy, but because of his blood, he gave me worth and value, and he took on my sins, so that every day now I got a place I can come confess all my stuff to. I can get naked before him and be able to walk upright in this world today. I choose him because he chose me first, and as Lisa was saying, I know that I was predestined to be sitting just where I'm sitting today. I know it every day when I look at my life and I look back over where I came from to where I'm standing today. I can see how he wove and even bobbed me through those places, because when I should have died, he said, not today. I'm thankful for the relationship, and that I don't have to look like a cookie cutter when I go into my church that I practice my spirituality at. I don't have to look like somebody sitting next to me, because I don't. And I thank God for the uniqueness of each one of us who brings the whole body of Christ to life, because if all of us looked like a left hand, we would be pretty messed up. So I'm thankful for the balance that he gives us to be able to walk in authority because of who he is. And that's why I continue to profess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, because he gives me the authority to walk this life with my head up, knowing that I have a place to confess my sins and then be forgiven, not be judged, not be looked at crazy from him. The world may see me in any light, but that's the way that is. But because of him, that I can live this life today, and I can profess that wherever I go, and in the language that is understandable to the people that I encounter on a daily basis. And I think that's really important, because the people that encountered me spoke a language that I could understand, because I was living in a foreign land. I needed to be in a language that I could understand who Jesus was in my language, and they brought it to me like that so that I could grow in relationship with him. Thank you. I'm going to keep listening. I'm on my way for my little workout this morning. I love you guys, and have a blessed day.
Thank you, Miss D. I love you, too. Go ahead, Miss Juliet.
Yeah, Alma, did you guys hear me? Because I kind of went, I was talking, and then all of a sudden I went out. Did you hear me at all?
Just that you were saying your name. We didn't hear anything that you said.
That was it. Well, first of all, I just wanted to say I just love you, and I just loved, well, I love all your decorations, but I really love this one. And I'm definitely going to have to go back and listen to it over and over again, because there's so much meat up in that. And I was just wanted to say, as far as, you know, I thought about what Jeff was saying and what you were saying in the beginning, you know, are we fake Christians? And one of my prayers, why I often pray this, is what Paul said when he said, lest I preach to others and become a castaway. I don't really know the context of that, but what that meant to me is that I need to live what I preach, you know. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to, you know, be, as a child of God, I need to, you know, walk the talk. And so that's one of my prayers that I pray all the time. And also that, you know, I like the fact that you broke down how sometimes people come to you and ask you why you are a Christian, and we start telling them how we became a Christian, or, you know, all the things that go on in maybe in the church house, but not like about our relationship with God. And this made me think that, you know, to really unpack that for myself and to be able to articulate that to others. And I was thinking about so much what everybody was saying, like what my husband Eric was saying, as far as not having a scripture and recognizing that, you know, God, what, especially what Dion said too, as far as the choosing, you know, that God chose us, but we have a choice in that, you know, to choose him. And how someone else was saying how he is faithful. You know, basically that's what I picked up. God is a faithful God. You know, he doesn't just say, okay, I'm God, and leave it at that. He unpacks it for you in our day-to-day life. And that's the thing I love about God. You know, he's patient with us. You know, and another thing he showed me also in that, that is where our faithfulness in God lies, in our patience. You know, because the Bible says at the end, here are the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus, you know? So, I mean, there's just so much in this. And I just want to tell you I love you. And like I said, you know, this was a lot of meat that I have to go back and unpack. But I just thank you for being that vessel to pull it out, you know, bring it out there. You guys have a blessed day.
Thank you, sister. You have one also.
Hey, Dee Dee. This is... Hi, Dee Dee. This is Deborah Yvonne. Thank you for your declaration. Thank you for your wonderful, wonderful declaration. It was just beautiful. To answer your question, if someone was to ask me why I'm a Christian, the only thing that I can just say is that I love being a Christian because I love the way how God loves me. I love that I am his responsibility. And the more that I let him into my life, it makes me jump up higher and higher, saying, I'm so glad that I'm with you, Lord, because I'm on the winning side. That's all. Just wanted to say that.
Yes, yes. You got me over here going, because I know. Woo, Jesus. Ain't it good, his love? His magnificent love, his extravagant. He loves us when we raggedy. Ooh, Jesus. You about, okay. Anybody else?
Hey, Dee Dee.
Hey.
You know I was going to have to say something.
Hey, Sister Wren.
Your declaration was awesome. Awesome and timely. I have to agree with Brother Jeff. It did start with my parents, you know, taking me to church and all that kind of stuff. But it wasn't until I began to nurture my relationship with Christ. So I'm a Christian because I believe what the Bible says. And we all have different needs. And at this point in my life, Jesus has been the only one that can meet my needs. I haven't really dealt with any of the other religions, but I studied them a little bit. And Jesus is the only one that was raised from the dead. His Holy Spirit is within me. When I asked him to come in, his Holy Spirit came in and it's a part of me. I don't know how that works with these other religions, but I know how it worked for me as a Christian. I have learned to just trust God with everything. And it's awesome. It's awesome. I love how he loves us no matter what. When I'm crazy, he still loves me. When I'm all right, he loves me no matter what. I know he loves me. And, you know, some of our needs that we have are to be accepted. And God accepts us no matter what. God forgives us no matter what. God handles our emotional needs. God gives us meaning and purpose for life. And he gives us eternal life. So I'm so happy I'm Christian. I'm so happy that I finally have learned how to truly allow him to be the Lord of my life, to truly just know how to do what I need to do. And this call is such an awesome call. This line. Ooh, Dee Dee. Dion, your obedience. Tanya, Lisa, just Ravonda, everyone that contributes on this line, Marcus, Bishop Patterson now, Lord have mercy, and please don't let me forget LaVell. I just love LaVell Jones. It's just, God has just blessed us. This is a true blessing. God, Dee Dee, that was good, baby. That was real good. I love you. Everybody have a great day.
I love you too, Miss Barbara, and thank you for that. Anybody else have anything?
Okay, I had to get up out of my seat one more time. When I was way overseas and I felt like I was all alone, it was amazing how I love Deborah Yvonne and Miss Barbara for talking about the love of Christ. And I think somebody said it, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. You said that, Dee Dee, while we were in the middle of our mess. But for those of us that think it's because of the love only, well, that's what the word says, is because of loving kindness have I drawn thee. And he loved us so much, and it's the goodness of the Lord that leads us into repentance. He's been so good to us that it makes us want to just come to him. And, I mean, who wouldn't want to serve a loving God? And those that don't know him think he's this major judge and, you know, one with all these rules. But when you come into relationship, and I think that's key, when you come into relationship, you really get to know that it's really not about the rules and keeping them necessarily, because he already paid for everything on the cross. The sins that we did, will do, you know, doing, he already paid for that. But when we get into relationship, then our lives are no longer our own, and we realize the sacrifice that he paid for us. And so, therefore, it leads us to want to try to live this thing out called Christianity. And in the beginning, Christianity was not even a positive term. They initially said that term to you know, signal out the people who were the followers of the Christ, the ones that were in the way, what they called it. So now, what are we? That's why the world's probably repelled against it, because the devil's not doing nothing new. But are we representing? Are we being ambassadors? Okay, I had to share that.
That's good. That's exactly that what you just said. Are we representing? That's why I said, and I, again, I think Brother Jeff said, well, somebody got offended. I can't say, oh, well. But, yeah, it's just we need to be, I need to just tighten my walk up a lot more. But I know it's a process, and I'm striving to just be better than yesterday. And, you know, I don't know about tomorrow because it's not here yet, but just try to reach. If I reach one person, one more, then that's. And again, I think Ms. D said it best, the uniqueness of each and every one of us. And God did not create none of us exactly the same. So that's what I think I like about it the most, is that he loves me as I am. He created me to be fearfully and wonderfully made. And I just love being a Christian. I do. I love being a believer. I love what the word says, he says about me. You know, in that painful place, he's there for me. And so, Deborah Yvonne, I know that love, man, it's like no other. So, okay. Anybody else want to share? Because I could just go and get my praise on.
Hi, Dee Dee, it's Tanya.
Hi, Sister Tanya.
Hi. I marveled as we talked this morning. I really did. I was like, man, she did some digging for that heart share. And I'm sure there's more. You only gave us what you could give us in the amount of time that you have.
Well, because my husband turned the light off on me. You heard me say it.
I did hear that. That's funny. That's funny. You know, it's amazing the things that we do to make this happen, sitting outside in the car in the cold, you know, because, I mean, it's amazing. Some of the declarations where I've had to give them to. But why? I was influenced, like Brother Jeff, you know, I was influenced by my parents and their beliefs. Going to church and hearing the Word of God, so quite naturally, well, for me, it was the natural thing for me to do. I heard, I believed what I heard, but it was primarily the influence. I remember at the age of 6 years old that God did something in my heart. I didn't understand it. I couldn't even explain it. But I still remember, it, something changed inside of me. And because I was so little, I didn't really understand. You know, I just went on, la, 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 la. At 8 years old, I had another life-changing experience when I was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit by the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I know there are different beliefs on that. That's what happened for me. I'm not talking about anybody else's belief. It was so amazing. I still remember it. I remember my dad being excited about it. But, you know, a kid, I didn't really understand, didn't have a really good foundation. Even though I was going to church every single Sunday, YPWW, all of the things that they had, I didn't have a foundation. It was not until I became 19 years old that I made a conscious decision. I need God. And so he had been calling me, and I made a choice to accept the invitation. He invited me. I made a choice to accept the invitation. And as I grew, very thought-provoking question, because a lot of people couldn't, like you would have to, some people would have to struggle with an answer that really made sense. Why I'm a believer today is because, number one, I feel privileged that he made a choice of me. And because I don't know of any other religion that would allow that I could have a true relationship with God where he speaks to me, he encourages me, he loves me, he makes provision for me, and I can trust him to be there for me. Just this morning I said something to him, and my prayer was answered in less than 5 minutes. As far as the question that I had, in less than 5 minutes, my question. Now, we shouldn't put timers on God because we can get lost in that. But literally, I say, God, I had to crack up laughing. I'm like, for real? You, really? Okay, I get it. So I hope my answer made sense to some people. But I love God. I think for me, remaining here as a believer is that I've fallen in love with him. I'm like really, really head over heels for him. I love him so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Tan. I appreciated that, and I feel it. I do, because, you know, I was raised at the CME, Methodist, Christian Methodist Episcopal, and I'm just grateful for the foundation and then me, you know, choosing for myself, and that's just a beautiful thing because it's so personal. Like I think Ms. Barbara said, it's so personal, but it's a good thing. And the experiences that we've had and the things that he's brought us through and, oh, my goodness, this kid can go on and on and on. But, yeah, I thank you all for just listening. So is there anybody else that want to say anything or got anything out of it or can answer the why and not the how?
Good morning. This is Robert.
Good morning, Robert.
Hi. How are you this morning?
It's
awesome, great. Not sure where to start. Am I going to keep this as short as I can? I was influenced by my grandmother to accept Christ at an early age, though I didn't know what I was doing at that time. I was left on the steps in New York at my grandmother's house by my mother when I was 3 months of age. God was there. When the house burned down with me left in it, God was there, protected me. When she became a Christian, we were living in Manhattan, and I remember at an early age going to every tent revival we could find on the Hudson River that had the name R.W. Shambach on it. So throughout my life, I've had an influence through my grandmother to that nurtured me and grew and molded me to where I am at now. But it wasn't until 1982 that I said, okay, I'm done with this. The life I was leading was either going to lead me to prison or to an early grave. And I accepted Christ as a knucklehead running the streets on the loading dock of a kitchen by a man that didn't know who I was, didn't care who I was. He just started asking me questions, what are you going to do with your life? I'm like, I don't know. So he led me into a prayer that changed my life. And from that point on, it's never been the same. There's been an unmistakable presence of God in my life. And no matter how much I've done to stray from that, I'm always coming back. I always have been brought back. Now I'm on a straight and narrow path for many years now, but it was like I was a prodigal son continually. But, you know, thank God for his grace and his mercy that he's kept me. He showed me how to stay where I'm supposed to be and not keep floating back and forth. So now I'm in a much better place. I'm doing very well. I love God. There's nothing I wouldn't do to continue living this life.
Robert, that man, bless you, brother, and just all the things that you shared and your life's journey, and oh my goodness, I'm just tearing up just thinking about just what you must have gone through, and oh my goodness, that's a blessing. Your life experiences, you know, like that foundation for most of us, you know,
yeah.
it's just great, it's amazing, and of course. Lifting up your mom and lifting you up, lifting you guys
mm-hmm.
up.
So thank you.
Know that there's power in prayer, no matter, there's no distance in the power of prayer. So just to give you that peace.
Amen.
Yeah.
Good morning, Dee Dee.
Good morning, Patrice.
So I must apologize because I only heard bits and pieces of your declaration, but I heard enough of the call this morning. Because I'm driving to hear enough. I had a grandmother that was a missionary in the church. And I had been going to a Lutheran church as a child, as a teenager. Nobody else went, just me. And I was most happiest when I was at church. But my grandmother had cancer, and she was in the hospital, and she called me into her room, and she said, I went to visit her by myself, and she said, baby, come here. And I said, huh? She said, come here, come closer. And she lifted up, opened up her gown, and she showed me that her cancer was healed, and it was not because she let them cut on her. And she said, God did this for me, and she wanted me to witness it. And I said, wow. And so from that point on, I wanted to understand and know God and believe like she believed. Remember, months ago, I told you guys a story about my nephew hit my mother over the head and left her for dead, and she told me I had to forgive him. And I cried because I didn't understand how do you love God that much, or how do you understand to the point that you know that for me, I need to forgive him? And not for him, but for me. And so I allowed my nephew to live with me after he did that to my mother. Not only that, after that, he killed my auntie. So all that being said, I forgive my nephew because I know that there's a God that forgives my nephew, because there's a God that forgave me, that there's a God that loves me no matter what. It ain't nothing I can do to change the love that he has for me. And not only does he love me, but every time I go witnessing and I knock on doors, I tell people, just, let's pray. Repeat after me, Lord Jesus, forgive me. And at the end, I tell them, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's it. You stayed. Ain't no hoopla. You ain't got to throw no big old party. Just because you said those words, you're saved. And it's just that simple. Because he gave us volition. He gave us a choice. And I choose him. I choose you this day. And if I die today, tomorrow, I'm fine. I'm good. I don't need nothing else. Because I'm here. I finally get it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And not only that, he gave me a husband that believed. So guess what? We got to impart all of this into our children. Thank you.
Amen. That's so good.
To do what you do.
Yes.
And everybody else on the line. God bless you and have a wonderful day.
Amen, sister. You do the same. That's good. Thank you so much. Is there anybody else? We're getting close to the 8 o'clock hour that has a share. I want them to say something. Well, amen. I just want to share a little bit that my daily journaling, and today I'm reading Joyce Meyer. I love some of her daily inspirations, and it happens to be May 11th, and today says doing things God's way. It's John 14:6, and it says, I am the way. Simple as that. Many people are hurting so badly, and they are crying out for help. The problem is they are not willing to receive the help they need from God. No matter how much we may want or need help, we are never going to receive it until we are willing to do things God's way. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way. What Jesus meant when he said, I am the way, is that he has a certain way of doing things. And if we submit to his way, everything will work out for us. But so often we wrestle and struggle with him, trying to get him to do things our way. It just won't work. Countless times, she's saying, people have stood in front of her at the altar and told her all kind of terrible things that are going on in their lives and how badly they are hurting, yet they absolutely refuse to do what they are told to do to receive the help they need. Too often, people are trying to find some other way to get help rather than by doing things God's way. The Bible plainly teaches that if we will learn and act on the word, God will bless our lives. An example is, she said, the Bible teaches that we are to live in harmony and peace with others and to forgive those who have done us wrong. Ooh, Jesus. If we refuse to do that, what hope do we have of receiving what we need? That's difficult. She said, I remember how difficult it was for me the first time the Lord told me I had to go to my husband and tell him I was sorry for being rebellious against him. I thought I would die on the spot. I know that feeling. I realized that one reason we don't always do what we are told to do in the Word of God is because it's hard. It's really hard. If we don't do what we can do, then God won't do what we can't do. If we will do what we can do, God will do what we can't do. And it's just that simple. So just doing things God's way. That's it. I wanted to just share with you all today and be blessed. And it is Wait While We Wait Wednesday. We want to continue to just pray for those that are going through real tough times right now, lifting up Bernice and also Diane's family, and also thinking about baby Pharaoh and baby Thaddeus and all the babies that are coming in and just, you know, we're just lifting them up, lifting up all the families and the whole Declare Victory. So thank you, guys, and have a wonderful, blessed Wednesday.
Dede, if you
yes,
guys
ma'am.
Can call out, if you guys can call out Wanda when you pray.
Call out Wanda.
Deliverance.
Wanda's on the list. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Is that anybody else?
God bless everyone.
Have a blessed day. Happy birthday, Diane, if you're still listening. We love you.
Happy birthday,
thank
Diane.
Thank you, dear. Love you, too. Thank you.
Girl, how old is you for real? I need to. Wait, why Maddie's still telling me that I told a story when we was at that one party? He said, Diane is not. I said, she is. Oh, she's in her 60s. She's 60. Well, you were 60 then. No, you were 50-something, 59. Anyway.
Well, today I am 63, and I'm glad to be alive.
I know that's right, and you look good. Thank God for you in my life.
Of God.
Isn't he
amen.
Good?
Thank you, Lord God.
Keep me posted, Diane. You know I'm here.
I will.
Okay, love you.
I'm going back to the hospital in a little bit.
Okay, baby. We're lifting you up.
Thank you.
Okay, baby. Bye. Bye, everybody.
Be blessed and encouraged. Love you, Dynamite Dede.
Love you too, Gail. Love you. Have a blessed
bye-bye.
Day, everybody.
Jesus, thank you, Lord.
enjoy his ass.